The following podcast was previously recorded as a live stream broadcast. If you would like to tune in to a future episode of The Art of Bombing Live, please follow us on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, or visit our website, artofbombingpod.com.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Welcome to The Art of Bombing. I'm your host, Dan Bublich Jr., and with me as always is my co-host and producer, Josh Shirley. How are you doing tonight?
I am ready to get into this, Dan, because I have submitted a few videos to a few festivals and not heard back before. Why is that?
There's lots of reasons, but that's a great way. I mean, that's what we're talking about tonight. For the people tuning in, this is a special Between Bombs episode. We are going to be talking about submissions, video submissions for comedy festivals, kind of some do's and don'ts, pro tips, things like that. So, we've got a lot to talk about. Before we get into that, people are still tuning in. We don't want to start until we got a few viewers and people are still logging in, it looks like. Logging on. For those of you tuning in, thanks for watching. Make sure you're following us wherever you're watching. You know, if you're on the Instagram or the Twitters or all that place, follow us at Art of Bombing Pod. Again, for tonight, like I said, this is a special episode. We're going to be talking about comedy festivals, submitting to comedy festivals, some tips that'll go with that. If you have questions, put them in the comment section. Make sure you're commenting and make sure you share. If you're watching somewhere, share it on social media. Show this video, this broadcast, so people can tune in and learn something. Because that's the whole point of these Between Bombs, is to help everybody learn something, grow together. Let's get better together. And one of the things we need to do is think about our video submissions, because, you know, I've definitely, like you, I've submitted to plenty of festivals and I have not got in. And I produce festivals, so you would think I would know, but that doesn't mean anything.
You're getting into my question, Dan. What makes you uniquely qualified to talk about video submissions on this episode?
Well, that's a good question that you have there. What makes me qualified? Probably not a darn thing, but but the reality of it, that's not necessarily true. Because the reality of it is I've been producing comedy festivals. I've produced three different comedy festivals in three different states. If you tally the years that I've done it, you know, each festival, I have probably close to 15 years experience now just producing comedy festivals. And that's festivals. That doesn't include producing live comedy shows. You know, that's just one thing, just a comedy festival. So I've seen thousands of videos. I've sat in on some of these festivals when the selection committees get together and they're watching the videos. And I've seen a lot of video. I've seen a lot of good, great video, and I've seen a lot of video that's not so great. And like I said, there's lots of little tips that can help make a submission better. But I got to put this out as a disclaimer. Just because these tips might help you, you know, make a better video, and don't bank on this getting you in. There are a lot of variables that going into producing a festival and selecting comedians for said festival, and you can do everything right that you think, you know, to your best ability, and you may not get in. Don't get discouraged. Just keep working and, you know, submit again later. But keep that in mind. This is not a know-all, safe-all way of getting into comedy festivals. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to share some things that you can work on for your video submissions to get, you know, when you're submitting to a comedy festival. That'll definitely help with your submission. You know, it may not get you in, but it's definitely going to put you in the right direction in the long run.
That's right. In a situation like this, I think you have to control what you can control, right? So let's talk about all those things so that we increase your chances of getting into the next festival as much as we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, it does a lot of festivals. You have to pay money to submit to them. And when you have to submit and you have to pay money to get in, it adds up. And we, you know, you want to optimize that investment. You want to try to get that return on investment. And in this case, your return on your investment is getting into the festival.
That's right.
So if you're submitting a poor tape, you just as well save your money. So we're going to try to change that.
Heck yeah. All right. Ready to hop into it?
I am. I'm just sending a quick message on our chat. There we go. Just welcoming people to the stream. Again, if you have questions during this this broadcast, go ahead and put them in the comments and we'll answer them maybe towards the end or as they come up. We'll see how we're feeling. But either way, questions are more than welcome at this stream. This is the whole point of doing this, is it's a way to interact with everybody and you can get your questions answered. That'll hopefully help you in the long run. So yeah, let's get into this presentation.
All right. Well, here comes our festival video submission pro tips. All right. There it is.
Oh, look at that.
All the way up on the screen for you. Starting with section one is all about reading those submission guidelines. What do we got here, Dan?
Absolutely. So that is one of the most important things. When you're submitting to a comedy festival, you need to make sure you read their festival guideline. Almost every festival is going to have their own guidelines. They're going to have their FAQs. They're going to have, you know, what their, you know, rules are. You know, it could be a form, a name of several different names of things. It could be a Q&A or an FAQ. It can be submission guidelines. It could be, you know, terms and conditions. You know, it could have a variety of titles. But at the end of the day, you need to read that information, because a lot of times you're going to save yourself time by reading it, because most festivals will have everything spelled out in those guidelines. They'll tell you what kind of video that they want. They'll tell you where they want it hosted. They'll tell you, you know, whether the material should be clean or not, or, you know, what kind of material they're looking for. You know, they'll have everything spelled out. They'll have where you should submit. Because some comedy festivals, there is a little bit of a learning curve, in the sense that you'll have to go pay the submission fee on, say, through PayPal. Then you have to take the receipt number and then paste it in to a form that you fill out on their website. So there are some things that can get confusing. But if you're reading all those submission guidelines, you're going to find out all that information in there. So that's always the first step in submitting to a festival. Find out what they're looking for before you worry about submitting. Because it'll tell you everything you need to know. Material, the length, where to host it, you know, what they need for promotional materials, you know, headshots, bios, whatever they're going to need, they're going to have it in there. It's also going to tell you about the festival. You'll know what you're getting if you get in, and you'll know, you know, if you don't get in, you'll know that whether they'll send emails or not, or any of that stuff. Most of that will be spelled out there. They'll tell you when you need to have your video submitted by, and they'll tell you when the announcements are going to be. That'll tell you, again, the length of the video, whether they're looking for best of reels. Most festivals aren't, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later. But again, it's all spelled out. So the first thing, soon as you decide you want to submit to a comedy festival, before you even think about what you're going to submit, go read their guidelines and see what they want. And so then you can build from there.
Table stakes, right, Dan? So, you know, we're talking about, hey, I submitted my, you know, 3 minutes of blue material to a totally clean comedy festival, I'm not even going to be considered. Is that what happens?
I mean, it's very possible. I can't speak for every comedy festival, but that's most likely going to be the scenario. If you're submitting your best blue set to a clean comedy festival, you're probably going to be automatically disqualified. And now you've just, and you're not going to get a refund. It's not that like they're going to come out to you. Cause that's the other thing. When it comes to submitting to comedy festivals, these producers, they're busy people. They're doing things. They're planning a festival. They've got hundreds of videos to go through. They're not going to have time to hunt you down and try to get a better video. They're not going to say, oh, I don't know if you knew this, but you accidentally submitted a blue video and this is a clean comedy festival. No, what they're going to do is DQ your video and keep your money and put that towards their festival. And they have every right to do that because, again, that'll be in the submission guidelines. They'll tell you if what happens if your video gets disqualified or whether or not there's refunds. Most comedy festivals, there aren't refunds for the submission fees, things like that. It's going to be spelled out in here. That's why it's very important to read that so you know what you're getting into.
Nice. So, all right, what's up next?
All right, we're going to talk about being self-aware. And this is really important because there's a lot of comedians that will jump the gun early on and try to get into, you know, not just comedy festivals, but try to get a gig that they're not ready for. You need to be real with yourself. Are you ready for that festival? And what I mean by that is you need to look at the festival. If you're 6 months in to your comedy career, you've probably only got 3 to 5 minutes. You know, maybe you have a 10 minute set, but it's probably not going to be a great 10 minute set. And if you get into a comedy festival, you're going to be doing, you know, there's a chance you'll be doing 2 to 3 shows, and they might want, it may be a festival where they want different sets at every show. You're not ready. You don't have that. Now what's going to happen is you're going to go to this festival. You're going to try to do that material, and you're going to kind of make an ass of yourself in front of these festival producers. And if it's a festival where they bring in industry, now you're getting a bad, you're showcasing poorly for, you know, other industry people. And that's just going to hinder your career because now people are going to remember you from this poor performance, and you're going to have to work that much harder down the road to get them to notice you or want to pay attention to you. So it's very important to really consider whether or not you're ready for a festival. And there's different festivals. Going back to step one here, point one, reading them submission guidelines, because there are festivals that they do want new comics to submit because they want a variety that they might do like a new faces or fresh faces type of show on their festival. And that could be exactly what they're looking for. There's comedy festivals and competitions where they have it broke down where it's 0 to 2 years for comics, and then there's another category for 2+ years doing comedy. So, you know, you really just got to look at where you are in your career, what the festival is looking for, and then determine if you're ready. And it's okay not to be ready because nobody wants to go into a scenario, especially a comedy festival where there could be potential industry, and then have a poor performance. Because like I said, now it's going to hinder you and you're going to have a harder time trying to prove yourself down the road. It's not impossible, but it's definitely going to hinder you. And you don't want that.
I've heard, you know, get good, then get seen. And so, you know, it's almost a worst case scenario to go to a festival and start trying to perform before you're really ready. Because like you said, you're never going to get that first impression back.
Absolutely. You're not at all. I mean, first impressions are important, and especially in comedy.
Yeah. And this is a great, you know, time to plug an upcoming episode of our podcast about Mike Merrifield. He talks about, you know, I'm into comedy for 2 years and then I finally go on the road outside of my hometown. I think I'm the greatest thing that's ever happened to stand-up comedy. And then I realize, wait a minute, I don't have an hour. I've got 15 minutes. I'm not who I thought I was. And so I think that's the question we want to ask here. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Are you ready? Do you have the material? It's important questions, not just for comedy festivals, really. I mean, that kind of applies to taking any gigs, whether or not you're ready. And it's okay not to be ready. You know, you have to take your time and you have to get those skills and you have to get that material built up, because that's what it boils down to, is having that material. And every comic, you have to, you know, there has to be some trial and error, and you have to learn, and you know, there's going to be situations where you're going to be offered a gig and where you have to do an hour and you only have 30 minutes and you're going to take it because you want that money and you want that opportunity. Your chances are you're probably going to do poorly and you're going to end up losing potential business down the road. But at the same, you know, on the other side of that coin, you're getting that experience at least. So now you have a feel for it and you've at least been able to try to do an hour, because if you're not building up to something, you can't, you know, keep advancing. But you have to just be real, you know, and especially when it comes to comedy festivals, again, because, you know, there's a difference in taking a gig before you're ready, you know, say headlining when you're really only a feature, because you're at least getting paid for that. Whereas with comedy festivals, you're spending your hard-earned money on these festivals. And if you're not ready and you're not real with yourself, you're just going to be wasting your money. So why not save that money instead of, you know, if you're 6 months in, 6 months to a year into comedy, instead of trying to submit to every comedy festival and spending, you know, $200-$300, take that money and buy a decent camera. Go spend money and get yourself a decent lapel so you can capture good sound quality, or spend that money on gas to get you to open mics so that you can get up and practice and develop your material. There's, in your first, you know, 1 to 2 years of comedy, there are plenty of things you can be spending your money on to help get your career a lot further than trying to get into comedy festivals.
Absolutely. All right, so sounds like we ought to watch our video before we submit it. Why's that?
Well, because you'll be surprised, as somebody who watches a lot of videos for comedy festivals, how many people don't watch their own videos. And if they do and submit it anyway, well, that's even a bigger shame on you, you know, because there are things that if you're really watching your video, you probably would look at it and be like, yeah, that's not a good video to submit. You know, somebody bumps the table and the camera shakes and it falls over, or you have your friend holding the camera and they're laughing and they're moving, or there's somebody comes in and just stands in front of the camera for, like, you know, a minute of your 5 minute submission, and, you know, all these things. And I've seen all of these things in submissions, and that's how I know. Yeah. It's either people aren't watching their videos, or they're watching them and just choosing not to ignore it anyway, which, right, like I said, that's even worse. But it's important to watch it, because if you watch it, you can also learn. You should be watching your videos anyway, just so you can, you know, see what's happening on stage when you're up there, and, you know, using the video as game tapes to develop your material. But yeah, it's very important that you watch it, because you'll also be able to, you know, when you're on stage, sometimes on stage, it's hard to gauge how you're doing. Like, you can feel like, it'll feel like you're doing poorly. And then you go watch the tape and it's like, well, I guess I didn't do as bad as I thought I did. The crowd was really into it. You just couldn't hear the crowd from the stage because you probably, you know, there's probably subwoofers and, you know, speakers and stuff shooting the sound back at you, so you can't hear the audience. All you hear is you talking. But then on the opposite side of that, you might think you're killing and you're hearing some laughter up there, and then you go watch your tape and you realize, oh, it wasn't as strong as I thought. It was like a handful of people up front. Maybe this isn't a good video to send.
That's right. Sounds like a lot of people who haven't heard this episode are sending videos to Dan. Can't do that, guys. So, all right. So we're making sure that we're reading the festival guidelines. We're making sure we're ready. We're watching our video to make sure it's good. Next, what's going on the video?
That's right. This is a very important, and you can talk to, you know, a lot of this insight and some of the advice that I give, I'm not speaking for every producer out there. Every producer has their own, you know, what they're looking for and their own, you know, process and so on and so forth. But across the board, if you talk to almost any festival producer or anybody that has to screen videos, they will tell you that one of the biggest pet peeves of watching a video is having to wait for advertisements. You know, if you monetize a video, that's, you know, they're not going to like it. Some exceptions to that rule, however, is if you're submitting a clip from, say, a late night spot or a dry bar clip or something like that, those companies will be monetizing it. So that's kind of out of your control. So, but, you know, there's a little more forgiveness there because it's, you know, you're submitting something that not only is going to be well produced, it's also, a, you know, you're kind of showing off that you have a credit in mm-hmm. a sense. And that can never necessarily hurt you when you're submitting to a comedy festival. But to your best ability, make sure there's no ads or monetization on a video you're submitting. It's very annoying. I'm going kind of out of order here. Going back to the first point, you don't need the host to introduce you. The host should not be introducing. When that clip starts at 0.01, it should be you on stage. I've seen videos where the first minute of the video was the MC introducing the comic. And you're watching a whole minute of this performer and they're doing jokes and they're interacting with the crowd. And as a screener, you're like, oh, this is the comic. They're pretty good. And then suddenly they bring you up and you're not as good as the host was. And then a producer is going to be like, well, why can't we? I hope that comic submitted because they look pretty good. I don't know about this guy, but the host was pretty good. You know, so don't waste time. And the other thing, too, don't put fancy intros in there. You don't need a flashy intro. You don't need, you know, I've seen submissions where people like did a thank you to the festival for. And it, you know, it's like, I get the sentiment, but stop wasting time. We, you know, if you want to get into a festival, it's going to be about your performance. And when a festival is screening hundreds of videos, they're only going to watch 3 to 5 minutes, you know, whatever they say in their guidelines. They're not going to screen more than that. So, because they don't have the time, it's nothing personal. They just don't have the time. And if you're wasting that first 30 to 60 seconds, that's 30 to 60 seconds that could have been closer to getting into that comedy festival. So cut right to you performing, right into your first joke. Don't, you know, don't have the host there. Don't have ads. Right to you. No fancy intros, none of that stuff. Right to you telling your first joke.
I've seen a lot of guidelines when I'm submitting videos to festivals explicitly say that it needs to be not only what you just said, but an uncut, sort of unedited beginning from the beginning of your set. Not just, you know, part of the way through, not a best of. There's a lot of things that really talk about they need to see you start and then go from there.
Absolutely. But with that, and this is where kind of there can be some controversial points or opinions on that. When they say unedited or uncut, yes, they prefer that. But if you're submitting to a comedy festival and there's a difference between submitting a best of's reel and a highly produced clip.
Right.
You know, if you've been on, you know, the Tonight Show and that's a clip you're submitting to a festival, it's going to be highly edited and well produced. But and the same note, it's going to most likely be from that full set. They may cut one or two things out, but it's not going to be highly edited.
Yeah, so it's not different nights.
Exactly. It's not a best of's reel. It came from one set, and it was pretty much continuous. It's just heavily produced. Most festivals, I think, are going to be lenient on that if it's professional. And because you can tell, when you're screening videos, they can tell the difference between a highly produced video versus a best of reel, like a highly edited video. There's a difference, in my opinion. There's a difference between highly produced, highly edited.
Right. Absolutely. And I've submitted a few different places, and I've seen some stuff that's related to this same point where they say, okay, make sure that it's not a private video or an unlisted video. It has to be public.
Yep.
Can you give us an idea why they call that out?
Well, that's because, I mean, they one person is not going to be screening, most likely is not going to be screening this. So everybody that's on their committee needs to be able to have access to it. When you have a public video or an unlisted video, all they need to do is share a link with the other screeners. If it's private, a lot of times they need a password. It's got to be, and a lot of times comics, when they submit private videos, forget to submit the password. Now they're got to figure out how they can watch this video. Most of the time, they're not going to try to watch it. If they can't watch it, they're just going to skip it, and you're automatically disqualified. You've wasted your money.
I gotcha. So some of these conditions are really about accessibility, not you need to send me a video that has 5,000 views.
It is all of it. A lot of it is accessibility. Because that's the other thing. Like, you know, I used to, you know, I have my, I use Google Drive for my EPK, but I make it so that when I share the link, it's very public. Anybody that has a link can watch, you know, see anything in my EPK. But a lot of times when you share, like if you have a video hosted on Google Drive, if you share the link with one email, that one email can watch it. But if they share it with their team, unless they're watching it together, and I don't think most festivals aren't having watch parties. They don't. It's hard for people to get together. So they're watching them individually on their own time and making their own notes. And then they go back as a group and collaborate on the, you know, selections. With that being said, the email, the main email, which might be info@comedyfest.com, there you shared the video with them. But now there are four other people on this selection committee. Their emails aren't included in that share. So now they can't access that video. It's only shared with one person. So it goes back to accessibility is the biggest thing. Because if they can't access it, they can't watch it. If they can't watch it, you're not getting into that festival.
Yeah.
And again, you've wasted your money.
Right. So comics shouldn't worry that, hey, I don't have a viral video. I don't have a popular video. I just need something that people can see.
Yeah, you need to have a video that they can see, and it's, you know, you want it to be a good video, you know, and we're going to talk more about what makes a good video, but making sure that it's good, strong material, and it's, you know, essentially you want to submit your best 5 minutes, whatever you think your best 5 minutes is, and a crowd thinks your best 5 minutes is, that's what you want to submit. And that's what you should be thinking about. Yeah. Views for, a video clip, I mean, that may have some influence on it, but probably not, because most clips that are going viral anyway aren't 5 to 6 minute clips, you know, unless they're being put out on, you know, a Late Late Show or Dry Bar Comedy or something like that that already has a huge following. You know, if I put out a clip, 3 to 5 minute clip, I don't have enough YouTube, you know, subscribers to where any of my longer clips are going to go viral. Now, on the other hand, I've got plenty of, you know, 30 to 60 second videos on Instagram and TikTok that have got thousands and thousands and thousands of views, but it's not going to be long enough to submit to a festival. So that ain't going to be that impressive if they can only watch one joke, because that's not going to give them enough information about you to be able to tell whether or not you're funny or not.
Got it. So we're making sure that we understand what the festival wants. We're making sure that we're ready for that festival. We're watching our video to make sure it's good. We are making sure that we are not going to waste any time for screeners and make it accessible as possible. What next?
Yep. And then we're, you know, we're talking about, which I already mentioned, doing your best material, which is very important. You want to focus on your best set. You know, it should be your best 5 minutes, whatever your material, whatever you're talking about, whatever gets your best reactions. And when I say reactions, laughing, that's what you should be setting. That's what you should be trying to submit. Now, again, all this, the disclaimer here is always, always look at the submission guidelines, see what they're looking for. And I meant to mention this earlier. If you're ever in doubt on submitting a video to a festival, for instance, say you have a clip from a highly produced clip. Doesn't matter where it's from. Could be dry bar, could be late night, whatever. And you're concerned because you read in the submission guidelines that they want an unedited clip. Well, if you're unsure, before you submit anything, email them. There's going to be contact information on their website. Probably even in their submission guidelines, they're going to say, hey, if you have any questions, send us an email here or contact us here. If you're ever in doubt before you submit anything, just reach out. The people running the festival, they might not get back to you right away. You know, it may take a day or two, maybe even a month, because, you know, if their festival just got over and you're thinking about submitting to the next year's festival, chances are they're not going to be right on their, you know, answering emails or whatever. So keep that in mind. But yeah, if you're in doubt, always reach out to that festival and ask them to clarify, you know, ask your question, and then you'll get the best answer. Because at the end of the day, it boils down to you want to submit by the guidelines of that festival.
Gotcha.
Follow their instructions.
Okay.
But going back to this, trying to, like I said, you want to focus on your best 5 minutes. So, you know, and I just talked to another plug for an upcoming episode on this podcast. We did one with Brett Singer, and we were, you know, he was talking about he likes to do, you know, his 5 minute set as a refresher every now and again. And I asked him, you know, if it was because he's work, you know, hoping to get on late night or whatever. And we were talking about getting a good 5 minute tape for festivals, submitting to festivals. And I mentioned this to him and he was like, I guess I never thought about that. Well, yes, you want to do your best 5 minutes, but it doesn't mean your best 5 minutes has to be at the beginning of your set in one complete set. Your best 5 minutes could be in the middle of a 5 minute opening and a 5 minute closing. You know, so what I'm saying is, if maybe you're doing a 15 minute opening spot at a comedy club, you tape that, but you know that this is the 5 minutes that you think is really good and you want to make sure you get that on tape and for your submission, you can throw that in the middle. So you do some opening stuff, do your 5 minutes, go back to some other stuff. Then you take in editing and you cut that 5 minutes out and that last 5 minutes out, and you have that 5 minute continuous chunk from beginning to end of a set.
Got it.
That's just a strategy that you can go about, you know, to try to get your 5 minutes. Cause sometimes it is hard to, you know, if you're only focusing on getting 5 minutes at a time, which most comics, that's what we do, cause that's mostly what we have access to. It's great, but sometimes it can be hard to get that 5 minutes because all it takes is one little fluff up on one joke and then that whole 5 minutes is gone. Whereas if you're recording a 15 minute set, you have there's more opportunity to have some errors without that affecting the 5 minutes that you need for your submissions.
Absolutely. All right. And so we have a note here about avoiding offensive material in this section. You want to go into that?
Absolutely. We do have a question too. I don't know if we want to handle that now or if,
Sure. Let's go ahead and throw it up there. From Darren, which episode is, building a killer set?
That is a Between Bombs episode. I don't remember the exact number. It is a bonus episode, but I think that was the last,
That was actually Between Bombs we did.
The last Between Bombs we did. So yeah. If you search Between Bombs on our RSS feed, that should come up. I don't remember exactly. I think it's like 9 or 10, Between Bombs 9 or 10.
Right.
I don't have that right off the top of my head, but it's the most recent Between Bombs anyway.
That's right. Okay. So
going back to this, avoiding offensive material. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You don't know who's watching your video. So that's where you got to be careful. I always recommend when it comes to submitting, even to submit to whether you're submitting to just to get booked on a show or booked at your local comedy club or whatever it is. I always recommend, and a lot of comics will recommend, you know, it's best to avoid offensive material and to submit a clean tape, just because if you submit a clean tape, it's going to show them that you're safe. So that helps, because that's kind of important. It doesn't mean that they're going to expect you to be clean. They're just going to be like, okay, so if we need this comic to be clean because the headliner is requesting it, we know they can work clean. But going back to offensive material, because offensive material is a lot different than clean or blue material. Offensive material is, you know, say, you know, it's, you know, bigotry, racist material, sexist material, things like that. For one, you should avoid it, because you should be punching up and not down anyway. So right there, you should be avoiding it in your comedy, period. I want to put that out there anyway. But when it comes to submitting to festivals and to clubs and stuff, you don't know who's watching it. You might have a joke that touches on a racial stereotype, and a person of that ethnic group that you're punching down on may be watching that video. They may be offended by that. And at the end of the day, comedy should be funny, not offensive. And so if you're avoiding that offensive material, you're already, you know, showing that you're a better writer, for one thing. But you don't have to work, because, like I said, it really goes back to you don't know who's watching your tapes, and you don't want to offend. Because if you offend somebody and they get upset, they may not tell you about it, but they're definitely not going to get you into that festival. And ultimately, if you're spending your $20 to $50 to try to get into a festival, that's what you want. So it's best just to try to avoid that. You're not trying to be controversial, especially if you're in your first 1 to 3 years, when you're really, you know, most comics are really trying to get into comedy festivals. You're not going to be a groundbreaking comedian yet anyway, because you're not developed enough. You're not, you know, between 1 to 3 years, even 5 years, you're not going to be no George Carlin or Dave Chappelle. So don't try. Just try to be you and be funny and put out your best 5 minutes that you can.
That's right. Okay, so let's get into the home stretch here.
Okay, but we got a bunch of questions that came in, so maybe this would be a good time.
These are some comments I've been reading them.
I haven't read them. I just seen them popping in.
Oh, don't worry. Your producer is producing, Dan.
Okay, I believe it.
We're on it. I just don't want
them to feel left out.
No. We got a lot of good stuff. Lee had a couple of different comments here, and he was just making fun of you mostly, which I think is definitely worth stopping for.
Definitely stop to let him make fun of me.
Yeah. And Jenny is, when we were talking about the offensive thing, she wanted us to define that. And I thought you did a great job defining it.
I feel like I did. Let us know, Jenny, if you felt like that was a good explanation of what that was kind of my thought of what offensive is. You know, with comedy and offensive, everything, it's kind of subjective and objective. So, good. She said I did. Yay. Right. Good.
We made someone happy.
Yay. All right. That's good. That's what I want to hear.
There we go. Okay. So, got a few things going on here.
Doing a quality check. Yep.
When we record. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you want to, I mean, the best way to get a good video is to have good quality, and not just in your material, but in the production. And again, not everybody, ideally, yes, if you could, you can afford to have a videographer follow you around, but chances are you can't, and that's fine. The good news is with the way technology has developed, even in our phones, you can get pretty decent equipment for a pretty affordable price. And that goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of this, when I was talking about, instead of spending your first 2 years trying to get into comedy festivals, take that money and invest it in other things that will help you down the road. Then when you're in that 3 to 5 year part of your career, you've got good quality equipment to help you get these good quality sets from your good quality material that you've already developed. You've did all that in the first 2 years. Now the 3 to 5 years, you're getting into all these comedy festivals in the ideal world. but going to this, yeah, if you can get a videographer, a lot of times there are other comics that, you know, do videography kind of as a side thing, or they do photography, and most photographers nowadays can also do videography. So, you know, maybe you can work with another comic and, you know, or a group of comics, and, you know, a good way to get a good quality set with a professional videographer is to get 3 or 4 of your comic buddies together, and you guys produce your own show. You all pitch in for that videographer, and they just record the whole show for you. And then all 4 of you are getting your great tapes. So that's one way you can do that.
Yeah, I'd add to that idea, Dan, that I've had a lot of success producing live comedy shows when the comics who were coming to it knew that the sets would be filmed, because they're like, okay, I want to have a good show. I want to get something for a festival. I'm going to bring a lot of people to this. So that makes the videographer that you just mentioned easier to pay for. You're going to have a great show. It all just kind of feeds on itself.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then that comic too, the comics that you book are going to want to put on a better show too. They're not going to phone it in if they know there's a chance that they can get a tape, especially if you're producing the show and you're doing, you know, having somebody come videograph, you know, do the videography, and that comic doesn't have to pitch in for that. They just have to come do their set. They'll help promote it, obviously, and get people there because they want to have a good set, but they really want that tape. So they're going to also bring their A game. You don't have to worry about it being phoned in. So
that's right.
That's a good point on that.
I was going to say that that second point there, shoot for high quality audio over high quality video. My brother is a videographer. This is something that comes straight out of his mouth, is that audiences will forgive bad video. They can't forgive bad audio.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. It's very, very important because as somebody who has produced a podcast for the last 5 years, and the first like year was poorly produced audio quality, I can attest to the importance of high quality audio. And the reason that is because it's distracting too. Like, it's hard to listen. Like, you can watch something and without sound, and it can be horrible. You're probably going to keep watching. Maybe you'll lose interest, but sound, for whatever reason, poor quality sound can just be, it's really annoying and hard because it's hard to really focus on it then.
Yep. That's right. And the soundboard is a great way to sort of bypass a lot of the background noise you're going to find in the room. If you can get an input from the soundboard directly into your recording device is what that bullet means.
Yep. Another way that's not listed here. If you don't have access to getting into the board, there are other ways to get good quality audio. One thing that I've done here recently is I didn't get I got the Tascam, but they sell field recorders that are basically lapel mics. It's, you know, Zoom, which is, and not the virtual Zoom street, you know, not Zoom meetings, but actually Zoom is a company that produces recording equipment. And they have a field recorder that I've heard other, you know, another comic. Well, speaking of Mike Merrifield, he's mentioned it on his Facebook that comics need to invest in one of them so that they can get better sound for the videos that they're putting out on social media. With that being said, you can get, there's other brands, obviously, but I bought one of those so that I can start, you know, you wear it in your pocket, you record when you're up there, you have the little lapel up here, you're still using the microphone, you're still going to get good quality audio and be able to hear the audience. You know, it's going to capture all into one mix. So that is an alternative, because sometimes it is hard to bring your equipment and get it plugged into a soundboard, especially if you're performing at a, like a comedy club or someplace like that, where, you know, for whatever reason, they just don't have the people or the resources to help take care of it.
Yeah. And you're at the mercy of their equipment as well. At that Hazel show that we did the watch party on a few episodes ago, we, you know, the output just wasn't compatible. They didn't have a line out on their system. It just wasn't even available.
Yep. You have to, and you have to work with within your means. That's, you know, that's, it is what it is. And even, you know, another way, if you know, the field recorder that I bought a Tascam one. I paid about $200 for it. You know, the Zoom version of it is like a Zoom F1 field recorder. It costs about the same. You know, you're still getting either brand, you're getting the same level of quality. But if you don't have the $200 to put into something like that, another way where you can get some decent quality audio is by getting a lapel microphone that plugs into your phone. And you can use the voice recording option on your phone, just like a lapel, and get a little bit better audio. So that's a, you know, kind of a cheaper version. Now, if you're using your phone to record your video, well, they make Bluetooth, they make Bluetooth lapels, so you can plug the receiver into your phone and wear the microphone on stage. So you just got to watch your distance. But there are ways to get good quality sound without, you know, putting it into the soundboard. Now, I will say this, putting it into the soundboard, number one, that's going to be the best way to get your best sound. But if you can't, these are ways to get pretty decent sound.
That's right. And it sounds like you've already made a few of these recommendations just in explaining some of these things so far, Dan, but we wanted to make a point here for equipment recommendations for people for around $250 to $300. I'm adding some for inflation because that's a thing now.
Absolutely.
But, what can we find there?
Well, I mean, you might have to spend a little more than $250. I mean, you for $250, you could probably go on Amazon and find a decent camera that has a shotgun mic included, which you'll still get some pretty good sound on that. Won't be the best. But one thing you should always look for, though, in a camera, a video camera, is that it has a mic input. I think that's important. So if you want to plug directly into your camera a microphone line, you have that option. But with that being said, you know, you can get a decent camera probably for $200. I mean, you can get, I'm not sure what they cost now because of inflation or whatever, but like a GoPro, they're, you know, usually $200 to $300. You can get a decent, you know, 4K camera for a couple $100 on Amazon. You know, there's a lot of options there. Most phones nowadays, if you have the latest iPhone, you've got high quality video right there. Then it's just a matter of getting yourself a decent tripod for that, you know, and making sure it's stable, things like that. Then if, you know, if you have a newer phone that does really good high quality video, then you can take that money and spend it on your sound and getting a lapel mic or something. I mean, granted, when you do that, there's that extra step because you have to sync the audio and video, but in the long run, it'll be worth it. And you should learn how to do the minimal editing anyway, because every comic should have that skill to some degree. Now, I'm not saying you need to be an expert level editing person, but you should learn the very basics of an editing program because it'll definitely help you cut up clips and things like that.
All right. So we've done our quality check.
Real quick.
All right.
Just going back to the equipment, I also recommend getting a tripod, getting a decent tripod.
Yeah.
You can, you know, a lot of tripods now, especially now that you have like selfie sticks and you have ring lights and things like that. You can get a ring light and, you know, if you're doing stuff at home for video or whatever, you have your ring light, but then you could take your ring light off and use that tripod for your phone when you're out recording, but make sure that when you get a tripod, make sure that you have an attachment for your phone if you plan on using that, because that will be, you know, that's pretty important. I have a couple tripods. I have a big one that I use sometimes for, you know, a, you know, bigger camera or whatever. But then I also have one that's more of a tabletop tripod. That's a smaller tripod, but it's, you know, to sit on a table when there isn't, you know, especially when you're in a situation and you don't have a lot of room for setting up a camera. So just keep that in mind. You want to have a good tripod as well. And when I say good, I guess I don't mean you need to spend hundreds of dollars on a good, on a tripod. You just need to have a decent one that's not going to be all weak and wobbly, and it'll hold whatever you're trying to videotape it with. So if you're using a phone, make sure your tripod can support a phone. If you're using a camera, like a camcorder, make sure your tripod is sturdy enough to hold that camera. So keep that in mind. And I do want to throw this in real quick. When it comes to any videoing and recording at any venue, make sure you get permission and ask if it's okay. Most places, most venues that you're going to be doing shows are going to be fine with it, but it's always a good principle just to ask permission before you do it. And also, when you're asking and they say, oh yeah, that's great, yeah, by all means, record, then you can follow that up with, do you have a place that you would recommend that I set up at? Because a lot of times, especially a comedy venue, comics are always trying to get tape. So they're probably going to have a spot that they might already have designated for setting up a camera. So, and you wouldn't know if you didn't ask. You're just going to go in unassumingly and try to record. So just something to keep in mind. To answer Darren's question, editing software, I use a variety on my PC. I use a program called Sony Vegas, mainly just because I started using it like 10 years ago when I dabbled in filmmaking, short films, and I just kept upgrading every year or every couple of years, and it's just what I learned. But I also use my phone. I also use, you can actually do, I don't know how intense you can do it, but you can use Canva to do some video editing. You know, Adobe Premiere is a good one. That's the one that most people do, and that's, you know, web-based. For free ones, depending, you know, it varies. There's all kinds of free apps and programs that you can get for doing video, doing the video editing. It just really, you just got to make sure whatever you're getting, that, you know, you got to remember, whatever program you decide to go with, ultimately, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. But once you get past that learning curve, it's going to come in super handy.
Yeah. Yeah. If you own a Mac, a good pro tip there is use the native application called iMovie that comes mm-hmm. with your Mac. It's also on your phone. And what you're shooting for with any editing software is something that can give you different lanes for video and audio. Yep. And that means everything. It gives you all the flexibility you need to do your cutting and to make sure that you have audio in a separate track. If you are on a PC, I use Movavi, which is basically a ported version of iMovie. It's really good. I actually use those to make all of our YouTube episodes. So,
oh, nice.
Good times. Yep. Got another one here. Have you tried or seen videos that were shot from behind the comic out into the audience to get the audience reaction?
Well, when it comes to, I mean, if you're making a comedy special that you want to put up or you want to do something fun for your own social media, by all means, try whatever you want. If you're submitting to a comedy festival, I don't want to spend the whole time looking at your butt or watching the audience and not listening to you, because I want to see your facial expressions. I want to see your body language. I want to see you. You're the focus. I want you to be the focus of the video, at you and your jokes, because ultimately you, the performer, is who I'm deciding on whether or not is going to get invited or not invited to come perform at the festival. So yeah. I've not seen a comic submit anything like that. I think most comics know that that's not going to help you. I've seen comics do that for their own, you know, like comedy specials and their own stuff. I think it's cool. It's kind of a cool concept, you know, makes for a fun shot, but when it comes to submitting for a comedy festival, I would steer clear of that.
Don't
get artsy.
Definitely steer clear of that for the entirety of the video. But it can be a great shot when you have something with multiple shots that you're trying to edit together in one of those programs that we talked about. Thus, the importance for having multiple lanes for audio and video that you can cut and pan back and forth between. And having an audience shot is awesome, especially if you're doing something really high quality.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up. We got other stuff to keep in mind. Just some DVD video extras. All right, here we go.
Yep, and we touched on some of this earlier, but it's good to just kind of talk about it again as a kind of a reinforcement, because it is important. You know, hosting your video on a public site like YouTube or Vimeo, important. Talked about that earlier, because if you host it on a Google Drive, if you don't have it set up that anybody that has the link can watch that video, only the one email you sent that to can watch it. And now their whole screening committee doesn't have access to this video. So it really boils down to giving that. You want to make sure you're giving accessibility to the festival to watch your video, because if they can't watch it, they're not going to email you and say, hey, we couldn't watch your video. Can you send us another one? They don't have the time. They're watching hundreds of videos. They're going to be like, well, thank you for your money, but they're not going to tell you that to your face. They're just going to say that to themselves and move on. And then you're out your money, and you don't want to be out your money. So keep that in mind. Again, public, unlisted, accessibility. That's what it's about. If you have your video set to private, then they need a password. A lot of times, the few times that people have sent a password protected video, and then they had the passwords didn't work, or it's just a hassle. It saves time if you just have it unlisted or public. Then they don't have to worry about trying to hunt down the video. It's accessibility. That's the most important part there. If you want your video watched, you got to make it accessible for people to watch it. Going on to the next point, using a performance, not an open mic. Now, there are open mics in certain areas of the country where there are good crowds and an audience, and it looks like a regular show. If you live in one of those places and you have that access, by all means, you can use that open mic as long as you're, getting the material you want. But if you're doing an open mic and the room is empty except for the other 30 comics and they're all in the back on their phones, it's not going to be a good performance. You might have good written material, but if there's no reaction at all, it's going to come off as not necessarily good material. So definitely try to capture a performance, And again, if you're not getting booked on regular shows or doing guest spots and you want to get a tape, pave your own way, produce your own show. Like we talked about earlier, get together with a couple comic people and put on your own show and get tape for everybody. And I've seen that in scenes where they do that, where comics will be like, hey, we're doing this show. The whole point of this show is for a bunch of comics to get video. And they book comics and they all got great videos and they all promoted because they wanted to have a good crowd there. So goes back to what Josh was saying. If you help them get other people get video, they're going to want to help promote and help make that show even better. And then everybody wins. So keep that in mind if you're not getting booked. If you're getting booked, great. Just videotape. That's the one thing I try to tell people too, is once you have a camera and you have the equipment, you should be trying to videotape every performance. Even open mics, doesn't matter. Record everything, because you never know when you're going to get that gem of a set. You're going to be trying to get a gem of a set, and sometimes when you try, you overthink, and if you're like me, you'll overthink it and then you don't get what you want because you screw something up because you were overthinking it. But if you just get in the habit of recording every set, you're not going to think about the camera going anymore. You're just going to go up and you're going to perform and you're going to have fun and you're going to try to make a good fun show for your audience. And then as a result of that, organically, you're going to get a gem of a set. and then you're going to have something great to submit. So once you get that equipment, try to record all the time. And yeah, lastly, this is very important. Not everybody gets picked. Don't get all butthurt. Don't get mad at the people producing the festival, especially, you know, if you're, it's okay to be disappointed and frustrated because of the rejection. We all go through it as comedians. There's not one comedian that hasn't been rejected from something at some point or another in their comedy career. With that being said, if you're mad or disappointed, you know, that's fine. You have the right to feel the way you do. But I will say this. Do not go on any public forum and complain or say nasty things about the festival or the company or whatever rejected you. Excuse me. It's not going to look good on you, and it's not going to increase your chances of getting in to the festival the next year. If you go on a big Facebook rant about a festival, you're probably never getting into that festival ever. So you don't want to burn bridges. You know, not everybody gets picked because a lot of comedy festivals, you got to consider, they only have so many spots. And I'll give this as an example. I co-produce Snow Jam Comedy Festival. We do a 3-day festival. We have 30 spots that we give out for the festival. That's 30 spots. Most of the time, we get over, you know, we get 200 to 300 submissions. Now, even if we, you know, that's only like, you know, if we get 300 submissions, what is that, like 5% that we're letting in? Something like that. I could be wrong. 5 to 7% of is what can get in. That's not a big number. And it's just the way it is. We would love to try to get as many as we can in. We just don't have the slots for 300 comics to come do this festival. Nor do we have the budget to put all 300 comics up in a hotel. You know, that kind of thing. And that's just how it is for festivals. They're going to be looking for for specific things. Only the people producing those festivals know what they want. That's their prerogative. Don't get mad at them. What you need to do is you can either, and don't get mad at this either, but if you reach out and say, hey, I know I didn't get in, I would love some feedback. They may give you some feedback. And if they do, don't take it personal. Take the notes and see if you can improve. But most importantly, if they don't get back to you or they don't want to give you feedback, don't get mad at that either. A lot of people don't want to they don't want to give you notes because they don't want to criticize people. You know, nobody wants to be mean to another person in comedy and be like, well, the reason you didn't get in is you just suck. You know, like nobody wants to do that. So if they tell you that they don't give notes, don't get mad about it. But watch your tape. See what you're, you know, look at your tape again that you submitted and see if you notice something. Maybe there's something in there that you didn't catch. And now you're watching it back and you're like, oh, I actually missed a joke and then kind of lost the audience a little bit or whatever. But again, every festival is different. That's why it full circle back to the first point, read the submission guidelines, find out what they want, and then go from there. Every festival is different. Every festival has a certain market that they're trying to appease to. Keep that in mind. You might not be the right fit at that time. Just keep getting better. Submit again later.
That's right. Okay. I'm going to go back and watch some of my old video submissions. And
this is just a recommendation. Anybody, when you submit to a festival, I would actually, and this is something I think I'm going to start doing because I keep forgetting what festivals I submit to and what videos I submitted. So like I get into a comedy festival and then I don't get into one and I'm like, well, did I submit the same video? I'm confused. So just a quick little recommendation, keep a spreadsheet of the festival you submitted to, when you submitted, how much the submission fee was, and then put a link to your own video that you submitted. So then, you know, you can start tracking the information. You know, you can, if you submitted to say 5 festivals and you did 3-1 and, you know, one video to three and another video to the other two, and say you got into one of the two. Well, now you can compare video A to video B to see what's going on there. But, and you'll keep track of the festivals you submitted to, because I'm like, did I submit to this one already? Should I submit again? And as a producer, I know what happens. Most of the refunds that we give out for, because we again, most comedy festivals don't do refunds. However, with Snow Jam, I make an exception. If a comic submits more than once to our festival, I will refund that second submission. Sometimes it's three. I've had comics submit three times, and it's because they've submitted at different phases throughout the year. Our submission period usually runs from June 1st, which, shameless plug for Snow Jam Comedy Festival, June 1st, submissions open, and they run till November 15th. So that's 6 months, about 5 or 6 months of submissions that we do. Comics will be like, oh, it just opened up. Then they'll submit. Then they'll see a post in the middle. Oh, I better submit before I forget. And then it gets to be towards closer to the deadline, and they're like, oh, man, they're going to close submissions. I need to submit again or need to submit. And then they submit. And then they've submitted three times. So it's a good idea to keep track. And then you don't have to worry about spending double the money or triple the money.
Yes, indeed. Money's important. Hey, right. This has been fun. This has been a good episode. I feel like we've learned a lot. If there are any other questions, you guys can go ahead and throw them in, and
This would be a good time. If there's definitely a good time for some questions, a little Q&A at the end of this. I hope, you know, people watching, I hope you guys got something out of it. People, when you're listening on the RSS feed, hope it's informational. Hope you're getting something out of this. Cause ultimately that's what we want to do, is help, you know, everybody get better. So.
Absolutely.
Take this insight and take it with a grain of salt. I've been involved in a lot of stuff. I am by no means an expert, nor am I claiming to be. And I definitely don't speak for every festival producer out there. So,
well, I think this was the perfect episode, because there's no more questions. I think we got everything answered.
We must have nailed it.
We did.
We must have nailed it. We'll give it just a little more for the, while we're doing that, while we're seeing if there's any questions, we'll do some plugs. We got a great episode coming up on Thursday, May 19th. Mike Merrifield is going to be on the podcast. Fantastic comedian. He's been doing comedy for 30 years. He's done a lot of stuff in his 30 years. He's been, you know, he's worked the road vigorously, and he had a lot of great insight. It was, you talk about comedy shop talk, that's an episode full of comedy talk, shop talk. So that's coming out on Thursday. You know, if you guys want to ask questions, leave comments, things like that, we have the voicemail where you can leave a voice message. You can just call and say hi. We've got the 5-year anniversary coming up. So you could do, you know, maybe say something about that. That'd be cool. Or, you know, if you want to tell a quick bombing story, you can go to podinbox.com, Art of Bombing Pod, leave that message. Again, at the top, it's going to say, do you want to support this show and give your money? That's not what we're trying to do with the Pod Inbox. That's just a feature that that website offers. We just want to hear from you. So if you got something to say to us, you can do it at podinbox.com/artabombingpod. However, if you do want to support us financially, by all means, you can support the show financially. Not saying not to, just saying that's not where we're after. That's not our main goal. Our main goal is that we want to hear from you. If you want to get involved financially too, we do have our Patreon as well, which we're going to be retooling here pretty soon. But again, the best way to support us is by sharing the content. That's huge. Sharing the content that we put out helps us. You know, we're doing stuff on YouTube. We've got the bomb drops that have been coming out weekly-ish on YouTube. We've got, you know, the Between Bombs. We've got the regular podcast. Share that stuff. Follow us on all the social media platforms. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it. Those are how you can help us grow. Well, our goal for the rest of this year is to grow the show. We want to, you know, get the show bigger and better, and bring more and great guests and more of these shows like the Between Bombs and really bring out the content that's going to help our community grow to be better comedians. So cool. Yeah. Well, all right. I just did a whole monologue and we didn't get any questions. So we nailed it.
You did. You totally nailed it. I said we nailed it.
I should have just stopped then. But I didn't
we have to do the stuff. We have to do the stuff.
Gotta do the stuff. All right. Well, since there wasn't any more questions, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you, Darren, Lee, and Jenny, for your questions, comments, and for everybody else that was watching. We really do appreciate it. Thanks for supporting the show, and have a good rest of your night. We will see you next time. And again, see you. And if you want to get involved, we do have a Facebook group. I'll just mention that real quick. You can find that on our Facebook page. Anyway, thank you, and have a great night.
Night.